Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life West, coming at you with another one of our Life West leadership lines. Today, I have a dear friend, someone who's halfway around the world, just a great chiropractor. I have Dr. Yael Weiss coming to us from the land of milk and honey from Israel. So welcome, Yael, to the Life West leadership line.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
And I don't know what time it is there, but it's probably nighttime by now. But thank you for joining us. I do want to just tell our viewers to give you a little bit of an idea of who Yael is. She's a phenomenal practitioner. She graduated Life West. She's a Life West graduate, graduated in 1993. So she's in her 30th year right now. She graduated December of 1993, came from Israel, had never, you know, lived in the States, came straight from Israel to be a chiropractor, went right back after graduation. And then in 1994, she opened her practice, which is going on 30 years, still in the same practice. She practices in a town that I cannot pronounce. I'll have you pronounce it in a second, but I can't pronounce. But it's just between Tel Aviv and Haifa on the coast. So it's a beautiful area. She's a mile from the coast. And she's just done amazing things in Israel. You know, she was the president of the Israeli Chiropractic Society at one point. She lectures on patient-doctor relationships. She's in the middle of writing a book on it, which we'll get into today. She even went so far as to sue the Ministry of Health, which we'll hopefully get into, that went to the Supreme Court of Israel, and she won the case. Well, we'll get into that in just a little bit. But as you can see from what I'm saying, she's a woman who doesn't take no for an answer and is able to also build beautiful relationships in her town. She's got a thriving practice. She works with the medical doctors and the EMTs and everybody, you know, in her ENTs. In her town, and she's got a phenomenal reputation in Israel. And I'm just thrilled to have you. I've been waiting for this, for us to get together. So let's jump into it. First of all, how chiropractic? Like from Israel, right? How many chiros were in Israel when you left to go to come to the States for chiropractic school?
When I left, there were 16 chiropractors.
Okay.
And today there are more than 100, but. Yeah.
I love it. Tell me how, what got you into chiropractic?
Well, my chiropractor, who was my parents' chiropractor, he helped my mother. He helped me with allergies. And he said, you know, I had smaller women in my class and you can do it. You can do it. And when you come back, you'll be very busy.
Yeah.
So.
And he was right.
He was right.
I love it. And then obviously you came to Life West. You were also, which I didn't mention, you were the alumni of the year in 1999, right? You know, International Alumni of the Year, which is a huge honor because we have students all over the world. I think in almost every country in the world, we have graduates. So that is a very huge honor. And anyways, it's just so cool to be able to, you know, talk to someone who, you know, you went back, there was 16, maybe 18 chiropractors, and now it's over, you know, over 100. You know, the last time I saw you was at myself, Dan Murphy, Jeff Shulton did a conference for you guys in Jerusalem, I believe it was.
Yep.
And I saw you there, and it was a wonderful 2-day conference. And, but it's just great to see you. Let's talk about, you know, this practicing in Israel. You know, I want to get to talk about the Supreme Court. Like what was that? Like, you know, who goes to the Supreme Court and wins? And I don't know if our audience knows, but Israel is not an easy place to convince people on anything, right? So how'd that come about?
Well, I was working on chiropractic legislation, and the Ministry of Health Till legislation, which is still going on, the progress is still going on, we're issuing certificates of recognition to chiropractors. And one day they decided to stop issuing those certificates. And so as the president of the association, I had to sue them. And you can't sue the Ministry of Health if it's not in the Supreme Court. And we won the case because they didn't do their job.
Yeah, yeah. And the certificate is what allows a doctor to practice there, correct?
Right.
Because there's really no chiropractic law right now, or was
back then.
But back then, so you needed the certificate in order to practice, and the Israeli Chiropractic Society probably oversees this, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's huge. Was it a drawn out case? Was it an easy slam dunk? Like what? Like, you know, how'd the Ministry of Health deal with, you know, losing? You know, was it what? Tell me what kind of happened with that?
Well, they had no choice. They had no choice. We. Mm-hmm.
Any problems from that? You know, did you become friends after that with the ministry? And, you know, that.
Well, we're still in contact with them regularly, yes. And the legislation is still going on. It's in process for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yale, I got a question. Why did they even think to even take away the issuing?
No, it wasn't to take away. It was not to issue any new ones.
Oh, so in other words, whoever was there could be there, but they didn't want any new people coming in.
Yeah. And we thought it was about chiropractic, and we understood it was not about chiropractic. They were doing that to other healthcare professions, nutritionists and other. So this is being changed.
Yeah. But was it discriminatory, or was it people who
we thought it was discriminatory, but it wasn't specifically against chiropractic.
But were they doing it with medical doctors and
no people? other healthcare professions,
but natural healthcare or
no just in general.
Okay, boy, that's interesting. And why they would even think that now that, and so they cannot do that, and that's huge. I mean, I wish on my resume I had something that said I sued, went to the Supreme Court, and won. That would be just amazing. I mean, I think that would be just so beautiful. You know, one of your specialties, and obviously was your passion right now, is the doctor-patient relationship. I know you're lecturing, and I think that our audience should know also that, you know, that you you put together a program on spinal health and hygiene years ago for OSHA, right? Mm-hmm. Occupational Safety and Health in Israel, that's still in effect. And it was helping people with, you know, at the workplace and things like that. And I guess, you know, that's a huge accomplishment to do. And now you've got this, you know, passion around doctor-patient relationship, right? Where'd it come from? Let's dive into that. And, you know, you're writing your first book also.
Yeah, well, it's, the inspiration for that came from my patients. You know, your patients teach you. They teach you about communication. And when the communication is effective, then you see miracles every day. You do.
Yeah, yeah. And what... Like when you're out lecturing, what are some of the key points that you talk about?
I talk about loving your patients and how to come with from your heart with service, mm-hmm. and be yourself. And when you're on purpose and when you're authentic, then you're empathic. And all that goes together with good communication.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, because I know I've spent time in Israel, and, you know, I spent a lot of time there in my early years before chiropractic. And the Israelis, you know, they call an Israeli a sabra, right? And the sabra is the fruit of the, for those of you that don't know, it's the fruit of the desert, right? And it is a very thorny, hard fruit. But once you cut through that and get to the nectar, it's the sweetest, most beautiful tasting. It's just incredible, right? And they call Israelis sabras because they could be very tough and hard on the outside, especially where Israel was formed from, you know, coming from Europe after World War II and all the things. And then poof. And I would have to say that, you know, I know things have changed as new generations came about, but to crack open and to love, you know, as a stereotype, you know, in Israel, it takes a lot, you know, on certain people, especially the older people, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of my first lectures was really about the Sabra, how they're prickly on the outside, but loving inside.
Yeah.
And how patients in the beginning, they're skeptical, they're frustrated. And once they start to feel better and they trust you, of course, they don't trust you if there's no results, right? But once they trust you, they bring their whole family, they bring their whole neighborhood. They invite you to their weddings and everything. So that's how it is. That's how it is. You can see how the relationship develops.
Yeah. And you know, and I don't think anyone would disagree with us that a large part of healing is, no matter where you are, in the States, in Europe, in Israel, it could be anywhere you want, in India, it doesn't matter. A large part of healing is having that, you know, that heart-to-heart connection, you know, that innate connection. And obviously, you know, you've mastered that. Share with us, like, you know, about the book or about any ideas or thoughts that you can drop on us around that.
Yeah, okay. Well, the book is about how to communicate effectively with patients, but also how to enjoy your work, how to enjoy your calling, because being in the healthcare profession, it's more than a job. I believe it's a calling.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to reinvent yourself every few years in order to really enjoy your work. And that's why I believe you should keep learning all the time. If it's more techniques and other things and things outside of chiropractic too. And always keep yourself energized, because you need to bring your patients into that, into your level, and hold the vision for them to heal. So I'd say the first four chapters about the love, and it's a mnemonic also for listening, how to listen with no judgment and really hear the patients and listen between the lines, and always to observe with all your senses. Do the examination, but also use other senses. Use your intuition. Mm-hmm. And V is for verbal communication. How to give hope, but not promise anything. And also, there's the nonverbal communication, which is actually 70% of communication is nonverbal.
Right.
So it's not just in your smile or your eyes or tone of voice, it's also in your thoughts. So how to keep your thoughts empathic. And E is for empathy, education, and empowerment, because empowerment actually is doctor and patient together,
mm-hmm.
empowering one another.
Yes.
So these are the beginning four chapters.
Yeah. And you know, it's so interesting when you lay that out, because you know, we know that results speak for themselves, but we also know that there's a lot of chiropractors that get great results. And so why do people keep coming back to you or to me or to my wife, Dr. Mary, whoever, why do they keep coming back, you know, is because of that connection, because of that trust, right? And I think that, you know, they've always said that in chiropractic, we have a very special bond with our patients. You know, that our patients trust us. In the States here, they did surveys and they showed that 70 patients in hospitals trust the nurses 75% more than they trust the doctors. It's not that they don't trust the doctor. They don't want the nurse to do surgery on them, you know, but they don't get to spend time with the doctors, where they spend time with the nurses, and they develop a relationship. There's a caringness that's there. Right. And in chiropractic, when we're one-on-one with our patients, it's not about the time we spend with them. It's that connection that we have. And I love that you talked about that heart-to-heart connection, you know, so important, so important. So how do you crack the Sabra? You know, because Yale, we have Sabras here in the United States. We have Sabras in Israel. That's just a person who's just, you know, on their life, they've accumulated a lot of husk. Right.
Yeah.
And to get through that husk and shed that husk you know, takes a lot for them, or they choose not to, or their story might be to not do that. How, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing and that you've done, you know, to be able to break through and get to that sweetness that's within everyone, in the core of everybody?
Yeah, well, it's I'd say loving your patients as if they were family. They feel that they're getting VIP treatment from you. That's how you do it. And it's not easy because, you know, after one of those lectures I gave on how to love your patients, the practitioner started asking, well, how do you deal with the problematic patients? Okay, with how do you deal with the difficult cases? And it's with empathy. It is with empathy. It's you give them boundaries, but they need more attention. They really do.
Yeah.
And I can give you an example from the beginning of my practice. There was a patient, those times where people used to have newspapers in their clinic, in their reception room. Yeah. And he would come each time complaining that there's no newspaper for him. And one day we really arranged newspapers for him in advance. And he was so blown away that he couldn't complain, that, you know, he became our best advocate. So
yeah.
So that's how you treat these people.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
With a lot of love.
Absolutely. You find, you know, the upset or whatever it is, and then you just kind of handle it for them. And whether there's a newspaper again there, that doesn't matter. You know, they just knew that they were special. When you talked about VIP and everybody, it's so true. I mean, everyone who walks in is the most important person in front of us at that moment. You know, when you talked about, you know, in your practice, you get a lot of referrals from medical doctors, a lot of referrals from, you know, ENTs and different things in your town. You know, you develop great relationships with them, obviously, right? You know, what have you done as far as to be able to educate them about chiropractic and what chiropractic is?
Well, some are, you know, it could be my own dentist or my own ENT, but others, it's through patients, actually. Patients who are satisfied and happy tell their practitioner, and then they refer. I even have a psychologist who refers, because he sometimes gets these cases of unexplained pain, which is explained if you look at the spine. So,
right.
He refers from, you know, I never talked to him before, but he refers because of patients who are satisfied.
Right. And obviously in Israel, when you started, I mean, it wasn't advertised and there wasn't things like that. It was really about just going out and meeting people. You know, are you practicing in your hometown where you grew up?
Yeah.
So people knew you, right?
Yeah.
Which a lot of people say, I don't know, don't go back to your hometown, because, you know, they know you for when you broke their window, kicking a ball on the street, kind of, you know, and they expect more, right? They expect, you know, why are you charging me? I used to feed you at the kitchen table, kind of thing, you know, but you went back home and obviously just became very successful. And, you know, but you talked about before, you have to hold the boundaries, right? And let's go into that about boundaries. Like, how do we keep those boundaries? And what are some of the boundaries that you use where we can still be able to exhibit that love, right? Still be able to. I think that's where a lot of practitioners, you know, we lose that. And the other piece is when people are like, you know, 25 years of practice, you know, they just kind of go, we can be going through the motions. I know there were times that I did, you know, it's just the cycles of life and whatever's happening. And, you know, instead of really working on staying in that love bubble, right, that we can serve. Yeah. So, you know, what are some of the tips and things that you do or that maybe might be in your book around that?
Well, to keep in your love bubble, I think it's to be grateful to be able to help people, grateful to be able to serve. I think gratitude is what elevates me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what helps me. Boundaries, it's your time, your schedule, everything to do with office procedures, mm-hmm. Who you treat, when do you treat, That's you know, how patients come from another practitioner and they want something else. So be yourself, know what you can do, what you think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's also personal boundaries of the practitioner. And that really helps the flow of the day.
Yeah. 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 Listen, I hear you so loud and clear, because if we don't have boundaries, it's going to affect our lives on the outside of the office. You know, you have four kids, you know, you raised a family, you know, you probably went through, did you have kids when you were a chiropractor college?
No, I was married. I had a very supportive husband,
uh-huh.
Very supportive family. And,
but you had,
I had my first child on my first year of practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you went through practice and did that. And then you had your second, your third, your fourth, you know, and you kept practicing. Cause that's a big thing for, you know, for our students always ask, like, how do you do that? Right now in women in chiropractic, when you were in school in 93, when you graduated, it was probably, you know, maybe 25% women. I don't know at right. that time, yeah. but about that, you know, now it's 50-50, you know, it's amazing, you know, the number of women that are coming out as practitioners, which we need more of, because I personally, not because I have, you know, four women in my immediate family that are chiropractors, but I personally feel that women were put on the planet to heal, you know, and men have their baseball bats and their sticks and do war, where women give birth and they, you know, they're all about life and nurturing and sustaining life. But that's just my feeling. But when we look at that, you know, you see that you could do all this. Boundaries is really what comes up, right? To be able to take mm-hmm. care of ourselves, our families. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not going to give our best to others, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you a cute story that happened to me. So one of my daughters was practicing up in Union City, just about, you know, 3 miles from the college. So she since moved, but I would go to her office every Monday to get adjusted, you know, or get checked. And so every Monday night, and they close their doors. Our last appointments are at 7 o'clock. They don't take people after 7. So this one particular day, I was running a little bit late, and I walked in about 7:03, and the waiting room was packed, and the reception was packed. They had people on the tables, and so I just always just sit back and, you know, just watch, and, you know, like, I'm on my phone, but I'm not. I'm like a nachas. I'm just so, you know, watch my daughter do her thing, kind of thing. And so then it was my turn to go, you know, everyone's cleared out. I got back there and her husband at the time goes, he said, "Hey doc, you got here at 7:00, you know, after 7. I go, "Yeah, I did." He goes, "Well, we don't take patients, after 7 o'clock. We show up after 7. So, you'll have to come back." And I went, "I got it. Perfect." You know, so I left. And I said, "See you at home." They were living with me at the time, you know, kind of deal. And so I go back the next day to get checked, and I honor that. It's so cool, you know. And I got there and, you know, got there on time, got checked. And by the time I got checked, it was probably 7:15, because they'll take people as long as they're in there before 7. And I get checked. And then after I got checked, you know, my then son-in-law said to me, "Hey, do you got time for an adjustment, you know, to check him?" Right. And I went like this and looked at my watch. I said, "Oh, it's 7:15. I'm sorry, I don't take patients after 7. And I walked out the door. And it wasn't a throw back at you. It was like, I love your boundaries. Live by, you know, we all got to live by these boundaries. And I loved it. And I loved what they did. Cause like, I would always be in my office till 9 o'clock at night if they were still coming, you know, kind of thing. I really love it, you know? And I think that opens up that door that you talked about of staying in love with your people, right?
Yeah.
You know, because you can get tired, you can get out of balance, you know, and I think that's a big thing that you touched on earlier. You know, when you talked about that, you said making sure that you're, you know, you're taking care of yourself and you've got, you know, the system set up, because you get out of balance and things just kind of fall apart, right? Everywhere.
That's right.
Everywhere. What's in the future? Tell me what, you know, I mean, you're 30 years this year in practice, right? In December, you'll be, you know, but you're in your 30th. What's in the future? Where do you see yourself, and where do you see Israeli, you know, chiropractic? Like, what do you see? What's your vision?
Chiropractic is growing in Israel. It really is. And it's not like in the States, every block you see another sign of a chiropractor some places. In Israel, it's not. So there's a lot of place for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I see myself, I'm practicing till 90 years old, 90 years at least. So
you got another 60 years, right?
So,
and you see yourself lecturing
I lecture about the doctor-patient relationship, how to love your patients and enjoy your calling. I also give workshops. I hold workshops for patients, but not just for patients, for everybody, on personal growth and journaling. So these are other projects that I do.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm busy.
I love it. Have you spoken English like this? You know, like fluently, like we've been in a conversation. Like, are you speaking English every day?
No.
Well, your English. I mean, obviously you came here and you went through school and all that stuff, but you know, it's so cool to see that.
I was also in elementary school for 3 years in the States. My father was in the embassy. Yeah.
Where?
Washington, D.C.
Great. So. That's awesome. So your English is incredible, but it's just so cool. As I'm watching you talk, I'm just thinking, are you translating things in Hebrew into English? You know, if you're not speaking it fluently all the time, I love it. Doc, you are, you know, it's, first of all, when I saw you the last we saw you, you know, in 2019, when we were in Israel, I think it was November of 2019, you know, I just felt the love, and I always feel the love when I see you, and it's just so wonderful just to connect with you on this, on the leadership line, and have you share, you know, about doctor-patient relationship, about loving your patients. I think it's a huge thing that we've got to understand. It's not just something that is easy to do. We have to keep working with it, keep working on ourselves from the inside. And, you know, I agree with you. You got to get results. But if you want a successful practice, and no matter what it looks like, there has to be that empathy and that love that comes out, right? That's what's going to build the practice.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So thank you. Thank you for
thank you.
Us. I mean, it was just so, thank you for staying up at night to be with us. And I want to thank our viewers for being with us. You know, these Life West leadership lines are dropped every other week. The opposite weeks we do a Life by Life West, they are taking off. And, you know, there's people who need to understand about how to open up. All of us have that sovereignness to us, you know, that fruit where we have horns and, you know, and it's hard on the outside and then it gets peeled away, you know, just whatever we have to do. And we'll have Dr. Yale. You have a newsletter, actually, you were telling me about, yeah. Right? Yeah. So we'll put that on the bottom and get a monthly newsletter. It's in English?
Yeah.
Okay, good. English. Good. So, you know, sign up for that. And I'm excited when your book comes out. I want to put it in the bookstore. So we'll make sure that we get some copies here. I just can't say enough. And I can't say enough about our viewers. Thank you for being with us. We're going on almost 3 years of doing these leadership lines. And I don't plan on stopping because we just keep getting great guests and, you know, more information we can share, but share this with others, share this with, you know, other practitioners, people, you know, who just might need to have a wake up or just kind of a listen to it. You know, it's just such a great thing. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for supporting us. Make sure that you keep that love flowing to your patients and to the people in your office and in your community, and also to your family and to yourself. And we'll come back at you in another couple of weeks with another Life West Leadership Line. And until then, Dr. Yale and I will wish you or bid you adieu, and keep spreading the love and doing everything you can to make this world a better place. See you later.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day. Together, we know we will make this world a better place.